many be lamenting in the spiritual world and suffering and crying and whatever. Again, it is part of prema itself. So prema is described as having two aspects, meeting and separation, in all, you know, sakkarasa or vatsaya or madhurya, the two aspects of prema. So the suffering itself is within the greater thing, a greater experience of happiness and prema. So similarly with the different gopis, we have the different conflicts, etc. And then that eventually is resolved. So that's also explained in when we see the gopis, and then Krishna disappears, and then they're all looking for him, and then they see the footprints, and then some gopis say, oh, there's another gopi with Krishna, and then some are saying, oh, that's very good, because it's Radha, that's her supporters, and then we say, oh, that's very bad, that's Chandravali's supporters, they're saying, oh, look at that one, she thinks she's so special, and she's run off with Krishna, left us all here. How can she do that? So they're criticizing. So we get the conflict there between the two groups. But then it says, afterwards, then they went and they saw Radha also was abandoned. And she was lying on the ground fainting. And they all came to her. And at that point, they all united again. And they gave up their so-called envy or whatever. And they all had sympathy at that point. So within that conflict, then it gets resolved. And after that, they all go to the bank of the Jamuna and they're chanting, and then Krishna appears and everybody's happy, finally. So that envy, so-called, looks like envy is resolved. And of course, we get many pastimes with many personalities involved, like Radha's mother-in-law, you know, causing problems, etc. So it's an apparent problem, but actually they're all devotees ultimately, and they're playing certain positions for increasing the rasa there. So that's the main thing there. As for the idea of love, it looks like it's we can say self-interested or whatever, but actually it isn't, because the whole it's natural for the devotee to have happiness and to want happiness, but through the process of bhakti, then are the only way we can get the happiness is actually by not desiring the happiness in one sense and surrendering completely to Krishna. When that happens, then we get the happiness. Krishna appears. Otherwise, if we're looking for ourselves, then Krishna's not going to really respond in the proper way. So we do get some devotees like that, where they say their devotion is a little mixed like that, or even Kubja's love is a little bit, so she's put on a lesser level. And those that are completely, completely for Krishna, then they're the most exalted of all. So the gopis are in the highest level, where it's only Krishna and nothing else. So that's considered to be the ideal state. Of course, in the material world, in sadhana bhakti, then yes, even though we're striving for pure bhakti, yes, the self-interest is going to be there. We're still looking for our happiness there, even through bhakti, etc. But as we go on, it'll get less and less and less until we reach the prema state, where then that is completely dissipated. We get a partial, it's a partial plan, but the imminent threat was, we can say problem was Jarasandha, because he'd imprisoned all the kings. So then that does not look very good for the king if he's got somebody's got all these kings in prison. For Yudhishthira, it wouldn't look good. So it's like an immediate problem. Obviously all the problems were not gone at that time, but at least something like that should be solved first before Yudhishthira can proclaim himself as, you know, king and have the Rajasuya sacrifice.
How to understand this false ego and Krishna's interest? It's a little bit difficult to understand. Sentimental, everyone has some ego.
Well, actually, it's interesting that there's two egos. There's the false ego, the false ego, that ahankara, which is the bad one, by which we identify ourselves as independent, and we think we're the material body, and we try to get enjoyment through the body. But in bhakti, we do not eliminate ahankara in one sense. We have our spiritual identity. We have a sense of I, and but we're identifying ourselves as a servant of the Lord, not that we are independent. So that in one sense, that sense of I or ahankara does not disappear, but it becomes servant of the Lord instead of being independent person. So in the material world, basically we are, I is independent and nobody else. And in bhakti, then I is the servant of Krishna. In all the processes there is hearing, but it is a minor aspect, and the major thing is something else, and the goal is something different. So the goal of karma yoga is higher material enjoyment, and goal of jnana and yoga is liberation. So it's not eternal service to the Lord. So yes, they have bhakti in all the processes, hearing or chanting or whatever, but minor aspect, and then the goal of it all is to aid their own process. So in karma yoga, they worship the Lord in order to get to Svargaloka. And the Lord responds, takes them to Svargaloka. Or in jnana, they want liberation, and they worship the Lord. The Lord helps them get liberation. Without the worship of the Lord, they cannot get liberation. So when they worship the Lord, they get impersonal liberation as a result. So quite a different goal in mind.
If someone accepts a little bit devotion also, but it will help that person to establish a relationship.
Well, it should. So that's the hope. That's why they're included in all the processes. But if their goal, they remain fixed in their other goal, then more or less they get stuck there, you know? So it requires devotional association after that to make them, you know, give up that interest.
In the beginning of spiritual life, we don't see that much, you know, that person is giving more palatable bhakti. Is it karma yogi? And someone else started coming to temple, started associating with devotees. And after only he takes the aspect of the bhakti, primary. In the beginning, normally we see maximum karma yogi.
Yeah.
Karma yogi.
Yeah.
So that means that, can you say that it's depend on the association of the person that he takes, he gives most palatable devotion?
Yeah, yeah. Usually it's through devotee association that they can change. Otherwise, difficult for them to change. Yeah. So they require that person who can, you know, inspire them to do bhakti and give up their material interests.